March the 18th, 2003, Marge Parker.
Okay, so the first thing he wondered about Marge was this little, the first grade, I think, there were snow drifts over the fences, and I cried because my hands are cold. We stopped at Krauser's, who was the next house up, and warmed my hands. We stopped at the store, and my dad took us. And then later, when he'd take us in the sled, it was just a flatbed with the sleds on the bottom.
Yeah,
if it was real bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a lot of walking, and it was a mile over the railroad track. So probably maybe a little bit more about what the sled was, or how the sled was made, maybe?
Well, it was just the farm flatbed, and then just like you use on the farm.
Right.
And then they had the what do they call those? The slick sled.
The runners.
Runners.
Right.
Yeah, they had Dad put the runners on.
I see.
And he didn't like, I don't know if I told this before, but he didn't like to leave the horses with their harnesses on. And I can remember growing up, we had a neighbor that the horses would stand maybe all night with the harnesses on. And, it just upset him terrible because that wasn't good. And maybe down the line I told my mother loved to give parties. And he'd have to go to town to pick up the kids with this sled type and bring them back. And then the horses had to stand till the party was over. And, he didn't like that.
So it was pulled by horses.
Yes, yeah, the sled was, yeah, we had horses. Just work horses. I always wanted a riding horse, but couldn't afford those, you know. You just had the work horses.
You had to produce something.
Yeah.
Right, Marge. How cold do you suppose, you talk about being cold, do you have any idea what the temperature would get down to? Or
I doubt that we had a thermometer. to know,
oh,
I don't remember, but one time after I lived in Portland, and my dad, I came home on the train, Patty was a baby, and he had to come and get me, and he got the neighbor boy to drive into Le Grand to get me, and keep it scraped off of the windshield so he could see it was so cold, and it froze everything in Portland that year.
A lot colder than...
And
yes,
and everything's changed. The weather has really changed.
Yeah, a lot.
And because I got from the chill in my hands and in my knees. I've heard other people walking to school. You know, chilblains, is that what they called them, or something like that?
Yeah.
It was cold.
And there were times when you walked to school.
Oh, most of the time. Oh, yeah, most of the time. No buses.
No.
And most of the time. But I remembered that first grade, you know, that was quite traumatic.
Oh,
and
yes,
Dad walking us to school. And I thought how important he must have thought that was to walk my brother and I. Of course, my brother was already in school. He was 2 years older.
Uh-huh.
But it was my first experience.
Yeah.
Well,
that's probably kind of what he had in what we wondered. And then, here's one. Let's see. This is about school. I think it was Morris or Maurice Wise was our teacher.
Yeah, it was spelled M-A-U, I think.
M-A-U-R-I-C-E.
Wise. Wise, and I think it was W-E-I-S. Now, I'm not positive on the Wise. How it was spelled, and maybe the old-timers would contradict the spelling, but I'm sure Maurice was more that.
He said that we went to Cove Swimming Pool, and this fellow, he had lost a leg.
Yeah, he had an artificial leg, and
and
he swam.
And he started the ukulele band.
Oh, yes. Now, is that all together? That's not... well, that should be separated.
It's kind of separated.
Yeah.
He's the one that started the ukulele
band. Yes, but he swam also with that leg, the Wallow lake.
Oh, my.
He had a real good bill, and he could swim.
Yeah.
He just take, and it was quite shocking to take that leg off, you know. But
yes.
And he swam with the kids. And,
yes,
he started this ukulele band. I don't know if he was musical otherwise. And there was about five or six of us that was real close friends, and we all sang and played the ukulele. He taught us. And we'd go to basketball games in the big gym. I remember going to Union, and during the intermission we'd play, and you know, and it was, that was the, would have been about the eighth grade. Uh-huh. He was a seventh, eighth grade teacher.
Was your family real musical, Marge?
Yes.
Yeah, I know Billy, of course.
Well, now I think somewhere in there I told about my older brother. Of course, we were depression and hard times. Dick took correspondence course for the piano, and that was one thing my mother got. I don't know, I think it was new, and the only piece of furniture I think that was ever new, and it was a player piano.
Oh.
And so he got the correspondence course, learned to play the piano, and then I had to study. He'd send it in and they'd mark, and then Mom made me learn the piano, the keys from that. Well, I always thought he was getting the best of the deal, but that was all right. I did learn that, and then later when I took guitar lessons from Lauren Blanchard, why, I knew the basics, say,
sure,
of the keys and stuff,
uh-huh,
and learned
uh-huh
real quick. And Bill, and I don't know if I told this before, too, we had company of cousins come stay the summer with us from Portland, and this one boy had a trumpet, and Dick and I both tried to blow that thing. Well, we couldn't, you know. That little old 11, 12-year-old kid picked that up and just blew the...
Oh.
And that was it, boy. And you know, he was a natural.
Uh-huh.
He really
was.
And but we didn't play, any of us, by ear. It was that Mom wanted us to have music. But Walt's family all played by ear. Walt
mm-hmm
played the accordion by ear. I may be repeating things
you
already got down.
That's okay. No, you're not, I don't think.
But he, he played as long as he could breathe enough to play. He would play every day and played by ear.
Did your kids then inherit any of this?
Patty, I started her with piano lessons in the second grade. And... it was kind of young, yeah. But mm-hmm I thought, because I was raised that way, you had to have music. And so then she took piano lessons till Walt came back from the service, which she was, that's not right. She took about 5 years
mm-hmm
from Mrs. Combs.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then when Walt got an accordion during the war in Germany, and he wanted to bring it home, he always wanted her to play the accordion. Well, the guys played it so much, they ruined the bellows. So he couldn't bring it home. And he bought an accordion then later,
mm-hmm,
and she had several years of accordion, and then she played everywhere. I mean, many a night I'd pat chaperone for other things and through high school, and then the fair maids and all that.
Uh-huh.
And but she read music just real good, but
uh-huh
not natural. Then our son wanted to play the drums. We would not buy him drums. He had waited till he could buy them himself. So he played with bands and toured Wyoming and Canada, and gray hair hairs made the gray hairs.
Oh, sure.
But he was older, he was of age,
uh-huh,
and he played off and on then until about a couple, 3 years ago.
Did he?
Yeah, and he isn't anymore.
Yeah. I remember about Patty playing the accordion. I
mm-hmm
remember prior Fair Days, Fair. Fair,
but it's not a priority anymore, and so maybe when she retires next August.
Is that when it'll be?
That's what she says.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah, she'll be 62 next month. And she'll have some time left, but, you know, that's the way she started, was she was a deputy.
Uh-huh. Right. So. Well, good for her. The next thing he wanted that we wondered about was you talk about the high school. High school was just upstairs, and I was scared to death because I'd never been upstairs.
No, I'd never been called up to the principal's office. Yeah.
So probably, maybe a little bit about the building, the high school building.
Well, it's still there.
It's
the square brick building, and that was all that was there. But the Wade Hall was built while I was in school. That one gym, the small gym, was built. And evidently, Mrs. Wade as well, I don't remember much about it except that she must have donated the money for it, and it was named after her.
Yeah.
But it's still there. So far, they haven't. They use it and added to it. But there is talk. I've heard of tearing it down.
Yeah.
But,
And the whole, so the high school then was up on the upper floors.
Upper floor, and the grade school was down below,
Yeah,
I still can picture it. But it was just like the kids here probably going up to junior high from Greenwood, kind of a country school, and then going up to, because I could see my son, I'd take him to school, and he'd just kind of brace himself, and I'd think, you're going through what I did.
That's right. I think everybody does that sometimes.
Yeah, just scared.
Yeah. I'm sure probably that's what we were wondering about. Let's see. Oh, I love this part. Saturday night we went into LeGrand. The boys played in Dick Lindsay Band. They bought groceries and Dad would go to the show. We'd wait in the lobby of the Sac Hotel until the dance started. Mom would sit up in the balcony and I'd dance. That's where I met Walt.
Yeah, did he want something added there?
Well, I guess maybe he wanted to know, I don't know whether he would maybe want to know more about the SAC or Dick Lindsay's band.
Dick Lindsay's band, of course, I don't know how old you guys are.
we're old enough to kind of remember Dick Lindsay's band.
What's a big band?
Yeah.
What would you think? I can name quite a few, but there was several. Clark Wheeler, Clark Ruckman, Avery Milring, Merle somebody, and Dick, my brother Dick, and Bill, and Dick Lindsay. And there was probably some more. So that's seven anyway. But I would guess eight or nine. Members,
was that Zuber Hall or Sacagawea Ballroom?
Yeah, it was called the Zuber Hall, and that's where the parking lot for the bank back
U.S. National Bank.
And there was Arella's Garden years later, and of course we were gone. That must have been during the war, because I don't remember too much about Arella. And I was married. We weren't doing like the, so
you grew older.
having babies and things but it was wonderful. Mr. Buell and his wife ran the Zuber Hall. It was a private, but he ran it good and didn't stand for any nonsense. Where that kind of runs together there, we'd all come in. Before Bill started playing in the band, he'd go to the show with my dad, but that may be beside the point. Mom and Dad would go get groceries. It kind of run together there.
It was your outing into town.
Yeah, but it was a family affair. And it was... I didn't date very young because I was having a good time without it, and the folks were quite strict, and didn't want me in cars and driving into LeGrand, and once in a while drive in with the Wesisco boys that were I probably in there told
you
about
said
them.
Something about Melvin, yeah, in here, yeah.
And they all worked, the four older boys worked in the hay for us, and and I just grew up with Lester, was the closest to my age, and he was like a brother. We were real good friends.
Did they live just near?
Well, just in Imbler. It was
in Imbler itself.
Yeah, and at Christmas time, my mom would have them all for dinner, and I think they had us. But she had such a big family that his mother, Maddie, said she fed the kids before they came. And, of course, they still ate a lot.
How many were there in that family? Do you remember?
Well, there was four older boys that I knew real well, and probably four girls. And then there was two younger boys that I didn't know very well, the real young. There must have been eight or ten.
Bernile was one
of the younger ones.
Yeah,
he was one of the younger ones. And my gosh, I think they're practically all gone. The younger ones, it seemed like Lester told me, died. But I kept in touch with Lester, and he did so wonderful after his wife, Ruth, died, that I thought he'd go within a week, you know. But he wrote poetry and everything, and songs, and he kept a good attitude.
He was a nice fellow.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Another little thing that we wondered about, he was, well, first of all, he says that Bill played music in Zuber Hall for the dances. Mm. We know that. And then he said, yeah, he started so young, the dancing part. I want to say that little Mormon church in Himbler was where I first went to dances. And my mom always went with us, and there'd be pie socials and potlucks. And he wondered, I guess we kind of wondered about that, was that a real active little Mormon church?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, very much. It's gone now, and I can't. But do you know where Eisminger's lived?
Uh-huh.
Well, it was cross up toward this way. Between Eisminger's and the other building, up on across the street. And I don't know what's in there now, like a, but it was just a little Mormon church.
Mm.
And one of the Wessons goes older, Pete was about 6 years older, and he said, if you'll come to, do you remember what the youth group's name was? Anyway.
No. I think it was Relief Society, and that was the ladies.
That was the ladies. This was the youth group.
Yeah.
Well, he guaranteed that I'd be queen of the Green and Gold Ball. Well, no way did he could guarantee that, and I didn't want to. And I didn't want, I just grew up with them, you know, with them, but I didn't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't, besides.
You didn't want to be queen of the Green.
No way. But he, well, I wouldn't have been anyway. But
that, you really weren't Mormon.
Oh, no. But a lot of people thought I was.
What church did you belong to?
Well, that little Methodist church as you're going in to Imber. Now, there's a square one that belongs in Bingaman's there that was a school. But that was the little church as you get into city limits to the left, there was Methodist. And I went to my dad, Depression worked Sundays a good share of the time. And so all my girlfriends went to church there, or to Sunday school.
Did the Mormons put a pressure on you, the Wessons close, to join the Mormon church?
Well, just only that with Pete. he thought if I
tantalized with a golden green ball.
Yeah, he wanted to date me, and from the time I was 13, and no way. Well, he went on a mission, and when he come home, I was engaged to Walt.
Oh.
And he said that ring didn't mean anything. Oh, yes, that ring did. But Melvin, yes, when he was the only of the three, he was the oldest of the four boys, and he'd preached to Mama a lot.
Did your mom have any particular church?
No, they didn't. Grandma. My dad's mother was radically religious,
mm-hmm.
and when they were, her husband died, and that's in there at 28. And she had these three little babies. Daddy was 3.5, 4 years old, and two below him. And Grandma gave her last $10 to the minister and prayed to be taken care of. My dad remembered that, and he had that ruined him for church. It really did. And he said there was only one good minister he knew, and he worked in the hay fields to make his money and didn't take money from a widow. And that really, and the depression, and he worked so hard to try to make ends meet. And I know it would have pleased Grandma so much, you know, but Mom and Dad didn't go to church. We went Christmas Eve, I remember, they as a family. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, well, I can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these pie socials and potlucks and so forth and so on then were probably at the Mormon church.
At the Mormon church, yeah. And yeah. And we were, you know, we were real good friends with the Mormons.
Sure.
And everybody, like I say, they thought I was too, was a Mormon, a good, here in the Grand.
Mm-hmm. The next thing that is this part about the declamation contests. Let's see, the only, I think most kids go through an English class having to get up in front of people. I'd just be terrified. They had declamation contests at that time. Through the English class, we had to pick either humorous or non-humorous and give it. I think I learned a humorous one, and lo and behold, I went clear to the college, and I won the county, I guess. You remember that?
Oh, I sure do. Yeah, now what else would he want?
Well, he probably kind of wanted to know a little bit about how this declamatory contest was organized, maybe, Marjorie.
I don't know. It came into the schools, and through that that was part of our assignment in school. We had to learn that. And I thought, well, I could do it in school, and that was hard in school. Well, it was humorous, and I can remember on the stage in Wade's Hall giving it, and I went blank. And I thought I was going to die.
And you had to memorize it.
Yeah, you had to memorize it. But it was humorous, and I could jump up and down and keep saying what I was until my mind kind of got. And then I went home and cried. But I still got my little medal. About yay, and you can wear it, you know. And I should put it in an envelope and mark what it was, but.
I think that it must have been a whole
county. And I don't. It evidently wasn't state, because if I went county, then they just, gone on to state.
Right, because I know that it was, I was in it one time, and from Telecasset, and so I think it must have been something that the whole county took part in.
I just don't know, only the teacher said we had to do it, so.
And so you did.
You did, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was depression, and Mom made all my clothes and everything. So probably, did you make all your clothes? Literally sew your clothes?
She made my coats.
Oh, boy.
She had what she called the rag bag, but it had nice, either older clothes that she could remake. And I had, when I was 10, an aunt of my mother's looked us up. She was an aunt by marriage, and she had divorced my mother's uncle, but she had named my mother. And she found out where we lived and looked us up, and she had remarried and was quite well-to-do. And she would send me soup boxes of clothes that she was through with that was lovely material. And my mother would remake those. That was when I was in business college. Still, you know, times were still hard.
Oh, yeah.
And she would remake I did, I think, when I was about 12, maybe got a bottom coat. But now, underwear, I can't remember too much. I think I had, when I was little, had the black sateen and bloomers, and probably Mom made those. Yeah. You know, I can't quite remember.
So a store-bought dress was just...
It was out. Mom would we'd come in. She'd go, like, pennies and look at a dress. She'd go home and make one.
Oh, boy.
You bet. She was very talented, and I had some really pretty dresses that Mom made. And so I never was without pretty clothes. But that was high school and business college.
Then let's see. I think probably we talked about the Weston schools, and I think probably that takes care of that one. Let's see. Oh, this is something about your gardening. I guess did the Weston schools kind of sharecrop?
When Mom was cooking three meals a day for the hay crew, and just wasn't time to have a garden, and so they did, and that's
Okay, I must have put on the boys' jeans because girls didn't have jeans in those days.
Oh, yeah, about the carp.
We went over to the slough, which I think was maybe half a mile. It was on our land. You crossed the Grand Ronde River and then walked over to the slough. There was carp in that slough. Lester took a pitchfork and a gunny sack and he went down in that slough. He'd stab the carp and he'd throw them to me. I'd grab like this. And then
I had the gunny sack. He had the pitchfork and I had the gunny sack. And he'd throw, but I didn't have the gunny sack up here. I'd grab him and then put them in the gunny sack and laughing all the way.
And then your mom canned them?
No, Mom didn't can them, but his mother did.
Oh, his mother canned them.
His mother. My mother, no, there no way with that carp. Carp was a dirty fish, you know.
Yeah.
But with her big family, and I suppose, you know, and the bones, they said, just were soft. Soft and they,
food was food.
And a big family.
And then here there's something about you getting the four older boys worked for us and they just run me ragged getting them water at noon. You were the water boy.
Oh, yes. I remember because I think they did it on purpose, but I don't know how in the world they drank all that water. But that's what I remember.
Was it a canvas bag or a bucket?
No. This was, we had a big dining room table, and they came in the house and the big meal, and we had the kitchen, and they'd remodeled this old house, and there was a big arch in the dining room, and it was all together there. And we had, we had just a cold water in the kitchen and artesian well ran all the time. So I just have to, it seems like I just go fill a glass up, you know. I don't remember a pitcher of water, but they just run me ragged.
But you didn't have to take water to them when they were working out in the field.
No, they evidently filled up with what you say, canvas. Canvas. It'd be canvas. With at the outside of the house was it ran all the time too, the artesian well, and they could.
Here's another thing that he wondered about.
Didn't know
he said, I went to Draper's School of Commerce, which was up above Lawrence's Jewelry. Then I got a job at the Observer, and I guess maybe he kind of wondered about where the
Observer was.
Yeah.
Well, it was in the building they tore down.
What he was interested in was the subjects that you took and what support the Draper's Business College gave you.
Yeah, the school. What all was going on?
Well, I typing and shorthand, and basically bookkeeping is what I did. It at the Observer was the bookkeeping, and the grand girls that went were way ahead of us Embler girls. I had taken tacking in Embler, but they were quite a bit ahead. But it was just basic stenographer. I don't know what you call it.
Was it how long? I mean, like how many weeks, months? How many? March, year?
I think it was 9 months to a year because I went to work. I graduated in 1936 in the spring, and that fall I went. And
you graduated from high school in 1936.
Yeah, in 1936. Uh-huh. And then that fall I went. Dad wanted me to be a teacher, and I didn't want to do that. He thought, boy, they had it made, you know.
Did Drapers give you any help in finding a job when you completed your course?
Not that I remember.
Now they call it placement, you know,
yes,
at college.
But I don't remember that he did. And I don't know, you know, I cannot remember how
was
I got
this one there. Person that was this, was a, there a Mr. Draper who was?
Well, a Mrs. Draper taught too.
Oh.
The two of them taught. And we liked her a lot. You knew Ed Draper.
Yes.
Well, that was their son.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
How many students were in the class?
Gosh, I don't know. Probably 20 or so. I went. Harold Breen was going, and Evelyn Gooderham, and Faye.
Weimer.
Uh-huh. Then there was out of town, quite a few out of town. Catherine, well, you wouldn't know her, but a friend of mine, I can't remember her last name.
You remember how much it cost to go to?
Put your hands up.
Oh, no. No, I don't. But it must not have cost a fortune, or my dad couldn't have afforded it.
Uh-huh. And they did put you in school. I mean,
And I did stay after I graduated. I stayed and did shorthand and typing for people coming through or just wanted something done for a while. So maybe they probably did help me get a job because I did stay, and I can't remember how long I stayed doing that. Typing in shorthand.
When you were going to school, when you were going to Draper's, you still lived at home, though.
Oh, yes, and I rode in with a fellow that was going to business, or to college.
College.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was a couple years older, and.
Did you get any kind of? Was there like a certificate or a diploma or a?
Yes, we had graduation, and it seems like we went out to Hot Lake for banquet. All I can remember about that, I went with Jim Everson. He was in this class, and he took a carload of us gals out, and that was our graduation out there, but I can't remember a thing about it, only... I don't think I've run across. I probably is in the trunk.
There
was a graduation.
Yeah, sure.
It was like a regular school.
Uh-huh.
And he was very thorough. And another one, Connie. Oh, what was her name? Remember, she chewed gum all the time. And Jim Everson sat in front of me, and we were always getting in trouble because he'd turn around and talk.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So.
Another thing, let's see. When you were married, then, what was Walt doing at that time? And then you said he was apprenticeship for Melville's. And to me, Melville's just means a glass
of. Oh, and I didn't go in detail about it.
Okay. No.
Okay. The Melville sisters run the, what did you call the department, or the front?
Yeah, Melville, yeah.
In the back was a sheet metal shop that the two brothers run, the Melville brothers. And when Walt was in high school, they had placements, job placements, mm-hmm. and they sent Walt there. And then the next season, he went out for football. And the coach, and I don't remember his name then, he said, what are you doing here? And Walt says, came out to play football. And he says, the hell you are.
You,
yeah. He says, you get back to that job. Well, it was a godsend, because there was no money for him to go to school even, and his dad was raising him, and I don't think he cared very much what the boys did. And that was where, and when we got married, he wasn't quite finished with his apprenticeship, mm-hmm. but that was his livelihood. And he took kind of drawings in, and I
mechanical drawings,
and I have them somewhere, just beautiful in high school, and that worked right in with this what he did out there, you know, making rounds to squares and you know, and with that mechanical drawing, and he was good at that. So
this is part. This apprenticeship was the same Melville family, or the
whole family runs.
Or I can't even think Melville's. Gift shop.
Gift shop, yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, this that was the way I remember it. That, and but the boys were brothers, and so.
Yeah, well, I didn't know
that.
I just thought Melville's was a gift shop.
Yeah, well, they probably they left. The two brothers left. We were married, and he was. Had got from $70-some to $90-some, so we, a month, and thought we were, and I was pregnant, and by golly, they closed shop and went to work in the shipyards. Well, we had to pick up and leave. There was no jobs here, so.
Well, as it looked like there was going to be a war, people had to do those things
mm-hmm.
because men were drafted, and men with families had to earn livings, and the shipyards was one of the big places that people from Le Grand went.
But we were scared. Well, yeah. We'd hear of them falling off of scaffolds and doing this, and so Walt didn't go right into the shipyards. We went to his brothers, and they were left the next day to go to the Union, and with his background of sheet metal work, they sent him out every day. And then he sent us to Kelso, and we were there several months. Then we came back to Portland, and Patty was born in Portland, so we weren't too many months in Kelso, but several. And then he went in the shipyards. We weren't so frightened that he's going to fall off the scaffold or something, I guess. And so then he was in the shipyards. And Patty was 3, and I was pregnant with my son, and he was drafted. And my sister-in-law asked me recently, how come? I said, I don't know, but I said, all of my area in Park Rose were mothers with children, and their husbands were all drafted. And some were older than Walt. Walt was 25, and he was considered an old man. So I have misgivings about what's going on now.
Oh.
I just watch the news, but I know what he went through, and it wasn't good. And so I have that in my mind, and I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what's...
Walt went through the Battle of the Bulge.
Well, not quite.
It was close.
It was close, but he was a ranger. And he was, you know what they were. They went in ahead of the troops. And he volunteered for it because, and it was much more dangerous. Well, he was in a house. Well, they go in, the German people left their homes and left when the boys came in. And he was up in a German house fighting the Germans coming. And when he got started to walk out, he couldn't walk. And he had what they called battle fatigue. And they had to carry him off. Well, then I get the news somehow, maybe from the pastor, the chaplain, that he was in the hospital and those kind of things, and not hearing from him and not knowing it. War is terrible. It's a terrible thing. And they come back changed, you know.
They
go in as kids and come back
As old men.
Adults and
yeah, I know.
It's a hard thing.
Yeah, it was. One other place he's got, we wondered about, I never wore makeup. My mother didn't like makeup. I was in several plays in high school. Because I think the only reason was I could smear on that makeup and I loved it.
Well, that's true.
Didn't have anything to do with being an actress.
No. Oh. Well, and you know, talking about be fearful of getting up, giving a speech, was entirely different than play acting.
Was it?
Oh, absolutely. That didn't frighten me at all.
Well, bless your heart.
But just to be you and get up was different than
me.
Play acting. And I don't know if I said that my brother and my dad and I were all in a county or a PTA play together. I think I told that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mother would say, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. She wasn't.
But you could just move yourself into, you're somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Marge Howell doing it.
Yeah. And one time my brother Bill was in a play later years, and he took the part of a woman or something, and said he looked just like me.
One thing you mentioned about Lauren Blanchard in Tisses. Well, Tisses was the LeGrand radio music store where you could buy music, instruments, and things like that.
You remember Tisses, do you?
I remember, but it wasn't explained in your interview.
It was a music store, and in the basement.
Uh-huh.
Now, whether Lauren gave music lessons.
It was right there by the First National Bank.
Uh-huh, yeah.
A little long, narrow store.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was, and I probably want to put that in there, that it was a music store.
Well, and he had sheet music. He was so much sheet music. We have a lot of old sheet music that came from, and there's a stamp, Radio and Music Supply or whatever it was.
Oh, and I can still see him, you know.
Did you ever buy anything from Midge Wright? She sold music also.
No, I remember about that is going in and having a milkshake or something.
At the fountain.
Yeah, at the fountain. But no, most of anything the boys bought or anything, I think, was at Tisses. Yeah.
Did you listen to the radio much?
Not growing up, we did. I can remember the folks trying out radios, but we didn't have electricity and didn't have a radio for. I hear them talk about a lot of the programs the kids watch, but we didn't. But I remember them trying them out, and I remember them trying out Montgomery or. No. Washing machines. What was Maytag?
Oh.
Out in the yard that run gas motors, and I had a ball out here, and I think I get to go away. But they never bought it, and we had the old machine that you did, you know, this to wash the clothes. Yeah, and we take turns doing that. And then Mom boil the clothes in the boiler, the whites, and get them clean.
Copper double boiler like you have in your front yard.
Yeah, well, it probably wasn't copper. It probably was metal, in my memory. I don't know where that came from, but it wasn't from my home, the one I have. And then I have another one that I think Walt painted copper out in the back, and I thought I ought to get it and fill it. But And probably this don't need to be put in either, but just wisdom. My mother, her niece got killed in a fire in Olympia. And my mother had had her teeth pulled a year before. And she had gone without teeth that year till we went to the funeral, to this niece's funeral. And she had heard evidently on the radio or some about this guy that put made false teeth for, I don't know what price, but it was a good price. And they went, and he made those teeth that day, and I don't think she ever replaced them. And he said, now don't leave these in very long. Well, she did for the funeral and everything, and well, she had a sore mouth. But that was really something.
Oh, yes.
My goodness, look how the teeth are now, you know.
Yeah.
But who would go without their teeth?
Really?
Nowadays, I don't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Get outside.
Did you feel that by living on the farm that you missed out on a lot of things?
Oh, maybe at the time. I can remember when I was a teenage. If Daddy broke down, boy, I was ready to go to Grand. Well, this time it was in the spring, and the water was running down, and I was trying to get up to the car, and I slipped or something and got water in my shoes and everything. And I didn't go to town, and I cried because living out on that old farm, and God, you couldn't do this or that. But by the folks, like going to town and being going to the Mormon church and taking us and doing those things, I didn't feel. And as far as dating, I probably was kind of scared to date anyway. I remember one of the fellows in my class came, and we had the separator on the porch. Our front part was what the house was, the back part when the house was built. But so the separator was there, and he got so flustered when he came to the door, and I said, no, I couldn't go, and he turned, and he fell over the bucket there or something. And another one, I remember, came to ask me to go, and I remember he smelled so good, he had so much on. I didn't go, and he got he stole things. I was so glad I hadn't gone with him, because he stole things and got caught and stuff. So yeah.
Was your mother still living when you met Walt? I mean, she knew Walt.
Yes. Yeah. Mama died in 1959, and we were married in 1939, and. The house burned in 1944, and they lived in, Dad had a new shed that they just put up housekeeping in it for, burned in 1944, and they built in 1953 or 1954 the nice home. Mm-hmm. So they were in there 9-10 years.
Some time in it, good. Was your mom, did she like Walt? Was that a
yes.
thing? Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's good.
She was a very good mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And Dad and Walt really got along.
That's good.
And I was going to be the best mother-in-law in the world, but I'm afraid I wasn't. And
well, your heart was in it anyway.
Yeah, things come up, you know, but...
A lot of your time now helping at the hospital.
I still can. And I will, as long
as... How long have you been doing that,
Blanche? Oh, probably... Let's see, Walt's been... I always go back to how long Walt's been.
Yeah.
9 years. It took me a couple, 3 years. Six, 7 years. March Goodwin in 1980. She belonged to a little club I did, and we were going to take hand in hand and join the Pink Ladies in 1980. And that night, the night before we were going to do this, why, my dad got real ill. And Walt was already having problems with his breathing. And I never joined. Marge did and was there for years. And but I, when I first joined, Miriam Holman was on the desk. And they didn't tell me that she left 45 minutes before her time was up, and that I was to do the desk, and I was never trained on it. But I did, I was able with the magnifying glasses and bigger print to read the room numbers and stuff, that I could do that and learned where to tell people to go. And then a year ago this winter, I lost more vision, and I couldn't do that anymore. I just cannot, no matter. They made the prints as big as they go, but I can't do that. And but I can do the coffee yet. I can do the flowers. I can do the cards. And then go over to the business office if they need to. I can still manage. And I'm awful careful walking.
It fills a spot in your life with something to do. And
twice a well, I go every week, Monday mornings. And then twice a month, I still can go to seniors and work.
Cool.
And I wouldn't mind working more. I don't pour coffee, and that's. But I can set the tables and wash and help clear up, and I do that.
What do you do with what group, Marge?
Tops. Uh-huh. And I did this long before Walt died, and until this. I happened, and I just quit because I knew I couldn't pour coffee, and I just quit. Then they, one of the our cooks is in our Tops group, and she asked for help, and I said I'd like to do it again if I can't pour coffee. So I table hop while the girls are pouring coffee. I several tables. I know who's sitting there.
Right.
And then sometimes I can't tell if I know the person. Now, see, I wouldn't know who you are at all across the table. So I will go up close to them, and a lot of times I don't know them, but maybe I make a new acquaintance.
That's right.
And
so, make them feel welcome.
Yeah, well, and at this party for Jesse, a gal in red sat down, and she was visiting with Ella Gelson, and priest says, "You don't know who I am." And I said, "No, I can't tell." Well, with Sigrid Jones, and you know, but I couldn't tell, and I couldn't hear her voice good enough to tell. I think if I'd have heard her voice, I would.
I know you. I can tell at church that you recognize voices.
Well, some, and certain postures, I can tell, but not always. But anyway, you know, you just got to keep interested. What was it? I asked Patty. Oh, I asked Patty who the district attorney was, and there's a case going on that I know about. And she said, "Well, why do you want to know? Was it about this case?" And I said, "Well, it's no, not particularly. It's just that how does the system work after a person's arrested, you know?" And I knew the district attorney could tell me, but I didn't call him because one time built the duplexes and we rented them, and I couldn't get this fellow to leave. And somebody mentioned, called the district attorney, and I don't even remember who was in at that time. That was years ago. But he told me exactly to write the letter, what to put in the letter, and register eviction and what, and it was just wonderful. So I thought, well, if you really want
to
know something, call the day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
So I found his name the other day and wrote it down. I don't intend to call him, but I was just curious. I can still read the paper. You didn't see my machine.
I did as I went by.
Well, I'll show it. But I showed it to you, John, didn't I? I'll show you how it works.
Marcia Smith, Eugene's wife, has just gotten the machine.
Oh, she's the. You know how it works then.
And, well, no, I don't. Oh. But he was so happy because he said she was liking it. and I think he'd been a little bit worried about whether she was going to
adjust to it. It's really helping.
But it's helping her a lot.
Oh, it's the... I would be helpless here. I couldn't see my mail. I can't read anything. And Patty would have to do so much more. And gosh, you just don't want to impose on your kids. They're busy and doing things. And so I try to be independent. And I hire a lot of work done, but I hired a guy to clean some in the front, but I wanted to leave some that I'll go out and rake some wheelbarrows and then and quit, and because I love outside work. And but I don't know, it's hard to tell weeds from flowers anymore.
Well, you're doing great.
Yes, yeah. You are, Mark.
Well, and I don't know where I get it, but maybe it's in the genes, you know.
I think those things are in the genes.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Can you think of anything else we need to ask for, Johnny?
I think we covered most everything.
I think we did, too.
Well, I don't... You know, some of the gals just said no, and I thought, oh, well, I didn't have that much to tell, you know.
Oh, isn't it surprising, though?
Yeah. But...
when you live a lifetime, there's a lot in a lifetime. Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone has a story. And this is what people know, how people went through during depression and war years and things like that, because those were hard times.
Yeah, but you know, if you never had it, like being poor, we never went hungry. And if you never had it, you didn't miss it.
And you we didn't have a lot of friends.
We didn't have telephones in Portland. Here, and I know my mother must have been worried sick. I was pregnant, and Patty had, she did come. Patty had to have appendicitis operation before I had Laddie. This was during the war. Of course, I thought it was the end of the world almost, and then my mother came and stayed. But for her to be here, and no communications, only by letters.
Yeah.
And she was a worrywart, and I bet she were, you know, and you don't realize that.
I bet she did too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But somebody, old Jean Bean, comes and reads the Bible study to me, I told John. And she said about me being outgoing. And she said, where did you get it? I said, I didn't used to be. I don't know where it came from, but I'm not near a scaredy cat as I used to be, like it's come out in those things. Part of that probably was not being around girls or sister, and not many females or to play with even.
Living away, away from people. It wasn't like you could run outside and play in the street with
with kids, you know. I wasn't around a lot of kids. And... so it was a whole new world when I started to school.
So. During those hard times, we all cultivated friends, and they were in the same position that we were.
Oh, yeah.
So that made life worthwhile, your friends.
Well, and like, you know, these things, like at the church and everything that we went to, kept us... looking forward to
that's
something.
That's right.
When did you start going to Presbyterian Church?
Well, Cleaver was just there for a while. So I can judge by, Kevin was a baby. And so he's what, 15 or 16? And I didn't look for another church. Because my kids, I didn't go to church with my kids to speak of, but when Henrik's Methodist shut down and we were home long enough, I took the kids to the Presbyterian Church. I don't know why I picked that church. But anyway, I liked what they taught. I didn't like, Patty went with a friend to the Nazarene Church when she was in the first grade, and she came home crying because they wanted the little ones to come up and to confess their sins. And they portrayed hell as fire and brimstone. And here was heaven over here as water and flowers and everything. And it scared her to death. And I I didn't want any of that. And whoever her teacher was, I don't remember now, but they explained, and she came home and told me that God will take care of you, but you don't run out in front of a car, that God will take care of you. In other words, it was like, you've got a brain up here, you know. And I thought, boy, I like that.
That's right, Marjorie.
And that impressed me enough that when I decided to join, and Walt was ill, and I thought I was handling everything, and something came up that I couldn't handle. And I had Betty Walk, had invited me twice to the ladies' luncheon. And I laughed and said to her, if you keep inviting me, I'm going to have to join this church. And it was really odd, this that happened with Walt and his illness and everything. And I thought, I can join anytime. Why not? But I didn't try any other churches. And I said, you'll come first, Walt, if you want to do anything. We were building a cabin and things and years, and we were always gone weekends. But I said, if you feel, do anything, you're first. But by that time, he was not wanting to do very much. And I'd try to get him to go for rides and things like we used to do. He'd study the map and say, I'd like to know where that road leads and stuff. And we'd go, you know. And so I never pressured him to go to church. And he'd say, well, honey, you look awful nice. Who are you meeting? And I'd say, well, if you want to know, why, come go with me. And that was the extent of it. Uh-huh. I never pressured him. But.
Well, they don't, the Presbyterians are very good about not pressuring.
You'll turn, just like what I've learned from my dad, and you'll turn people away,
uh-huh.
You know, I think. I think we all know it's there for us.
Right.
Are you still listening to me?
Yes.
I'm mad? You don't?
Well,
maybe you don't need
to. I find it interesting what you have to say.
A lot of this you don't need to put out.
No, they won't put everything in.
Oh, because